Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1 through 4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy and without measure help and peace to me afford. The first four stanzas of Psalter 102.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon can again be found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning with verse 22 to 40. But first we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, beginning with verse 22 to and including 40. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with him an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstools. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, as we have heard out of thy holy word, that thy servant did proclaim, that we are to know assuredly, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. O Lord, wilt thou give us to know it assuredly, that thou dost sit upon the right hand of power. O give us to know it in our hearts. Give us to experience it, Lord, in this day, in this hour. For thou art the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And thou hast promised that thou wouldst go away, and that thou wouldst send the Comforter. And it was to be not only on that day of Pentecost, but it was to be in a special way from that day forward. For never would thy church be gathered to such an extent as it would be gathered in the last days of the world, in the last period of the world, in the New Testament time. And we are not among that Jewish nation, but it has pleased thee to break down that middle wall of partition. And we have heard it also in this morning hour, that language that was broken, so that each one did hear them speak in their own tongues. O thou didst testify that it would be a word that would go forth to all the nations of the world. And so it has come also in thy mercy unto us and unto our children, so that we may have that blessed truth even unto this day. But what shall it profit us, O Lord, except that thou wouldst send forth then that same Spirit to do as thou didst do in that day, that thou, as the first fruits of the resurrection, may bring forth a great multitude. It was a multitude of 3,000 persons. O Lord, we are but several hundred persons. O thou art able in this afternoon hour to take each and every heart and to prick it. O thou art able to take each and every heart and to raise it from the dead, to deliver it from our spiritual death, to give us a spiritual instruction, to give light to shine in our hearts, to give the heart to begin to breathe, to hunger, to thirst after thee, the true and the living God. O Lord, who is able to do such a thing, that is thy own work, a most powerful work, a most delightful work. Oh, a work to thy honor and to thy glory, forever and forever. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to hear us and to do it for thy great name's sake. Oh, we have amongst us those that are old, that have become aged under the preaching, under the reading of thy holy word. Oh, and they have come and gone their whole life long, and yet they miss that most necessary blessing. Oh, we beseech thee that thou wouldst do that great miracle among them, when maybe they feel in their heart also in this afternoon how hard that heart is, that it is as the nether millstone, that they are not able to break it. Oh, that word has come so many times to their ears. Maybe there is yet a cry in this afternoon hour that thy Spirit would come and that thou wouldst give them life also. Oh, couldst thou hear that cry, O Lord, from heaven, thy dwelling place. May it be among a young and old together. Oh, could it be living in the hearts of our very children and our young people, the fathers and the mothers, the middle aged. Oh, Lord, we travel together to a great eternity. It is thy holy day. Oh, for a moment we are able to lay aside our labors, and we are able to rest from all the toil of this world. For a moment we are able to come aside, and we are able to gather in thy house. Oh, could it be an unforgettable day? Could it be an unforgettable hour? Oh, to whom else can we go? Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. And we are so unworthy of this blessing. Thou knowest how that we have left thee, days without number. Oh, thou knowest how that the world cleaves to our heart, and our heart that cleaves unto this world, and that we are so of this earth earthy. Oh, then every sin that is sought after within our hearts, oh, that thou wouldst grant us life, O Lord, young and old together. Oh, give unto thy people a prayer in their inner chamber, for thou knowest also what lives within them. Then it can be that there is a cry also in this day, and a remembrance of the former times, when with so much joy and so much desire, they did ascend thy holy hill of Zion, that they may come with the multitude of thy people into thy house of prayer. And then it can be that they feel so much of the coldness and of the deadness of the condition of their soul. And it is only thee who wast always the first, and who must always be first again. O Lord, thou must maintain it. Thou must finish it, or it shall come to nothing. Look upon us all together in thy mercy. Wilt thou extend thy kingdom over the length and breadth of the whole world? O Lord, then it was a Jewish nation that did a people that did cry out unto thee in that day. They did see their iniquity. They did see their sin. Wilt thou take away the veil from that people also in this day that is still over them, and that thou may give them eyes to see and hearts to believe. Oh, that they may be given to cry out once again, and that thou wouldst deliver them from that bondage wherein that they are. For thou art able, O Lord, to graft them in again. It is the beloved for thy own sake. Oh, that thou may remember them in thy mercy, and all the nations of this world, oh, that they may be brought from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and that they together may sit down in thy kingdom, that they may be of one language, that they may be of one heart, that they may be one people, that they may be united in thy fear, that they may be joined in the love of thee, and that eternity may tell of thy wonders, the wonders of thy creation, but the wonders in a special way of thy redemption. And then that people, they shall sing a note higher than the angels, for they shall know from what they have been delivered. Oh, wilt thou instruct us also in this afternoon hour? Send thou more servants into thy vineyard, in the mission fields and in the established churches. And thou hast given more students in the Netherlands. We may acknowledge thee, and that thou may increase their number here also among us, and that thou may give that over the length and breadth of this whole world, to Jew and Gentile thy word may be brought, and that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done. Wilt thou so remember those also that are not able to gather with us? Thou knowest their place in this afternoon. Lord, that thou may supply of thy Spirit also for them, and visit them in their place, for thou art not bound to time or to place. Help us in this afternoon to bring thy holy word. O Lord, wilt thou strengthen us for the body, may it be more and more. We may acknowledge thee for a little strength that thou givest unto us once again. O Lord, we know not the cause yet of our weakness. We have no control in all these things. But we are dependent upon thee each and every day. Oh, could it please thee that we may go forward in the work that thou hast called us unto. And may it be here in the midst of our own flock. Oh, that there may yet be many amongst young and old that must be brought out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light, that we may be given that grace and that instruction from above in the furtherance of the things of thy grace and of thy Spirit, and that we may receive what is necessary to instruct thy people and to lead them further upon that narrow way, to encourage them in all their discouragements, to give that appropriate rebuke as thou wilt have that to be. O use thou, O Lord, thy law and thy gospel in the midst of us and of our denomination in thy mercy. Be then with us in this afternoon, both in speaking and in listening. Forgive thou all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 64, all the stanzas. Lord, I lift my soul to thee. O my God, I trust thy might. Let not foes exult o'er me. Shame me not before their sight. Yea, may none be put to shame, none who wait for thee to bless. But dishonored be their name, who without a cause transgress. All stanzas of Psalter 64, and the last collection today is for the North American General Mission. these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Were they put to shame? They were not, as we have heard in this morning hour. They were not put to shame, and neither shall all such be put to shame, who indeed continue in prayer and in supplication. We read they were all filled, as we have heard, with the Holy Ghost that was promised to them. It was promised in the Old Testament. They were no strangers of those promises. It was promised to them by the Lord Jesus also, and the Lord has fulfilled it. We have heard something of that in this morning hour. They have seen that fulfillment. They have seen the signs of His coming. And they have heard the signs of His presence. But there was more, because they have also experienced the effect. That was the effect of that preaching in the midst of the congregation in which that they may be privileged to bring that word. And that we hope, with the Lord's help, to consider in this afternoon. Out of Acts 2, verse 37, the last part. Acts 2, verse 37, the last part. Men and brethren, what shall we do? So far the words of our text. And it is a question of faith. We want to see that in three thoughts. First, out of what this question was born. Second, in what this question consists. And third, how that this question was answered, which we hope to consider with you, the Lord willing, next week. Thus, for this afternoon hour, a question of faith. First, out of what this question was born. And second, in what this question consists. It is a question. And out of what are all questions born? They are born out of a felt ignorance. When we feel our ignorance, then we have a question. There is some ignorance that is not felt. And when we do not feel our ignorance, well, then we do not have a question. It is possible that that knowledge is a necessary knowledge. There is some knowledge that is not necessary. Then there are many questions that are not necessary. But if that knowledge is necessary, and we do not feel our ignorance, then we are in an awful, awful state. Because then it is possible that we are not even able to formulate in our mind a question concerning that most necessary thing to know. It can be that we are ignorant and that we do not desire instruction. That is, that we are careless. And if that knowledge is not necessary knowledge, that is one matter, of course. But if that knowledge is important knowledge, if it is a necessary knowledge, and we have no desire to be instructed in those things that we do not know, then we dwell in a proud carelessness. Can be that we are ignorant, but that we are also too proud to reveal our ignorance. That means that we do not want to ask a question. Children, is that with you too? When you go to school, maybe, and you are afraid to ask a question. Why? Because if you ask a question, then immediately, then everyone around you, they will know your ignorance. Maybe some will laugh at you. That is a terrible thing, boys and girls, that you laugh at someone when they will ask a question. Are you afraid to ask a question because someone will laugh at you? He would say, go ahead and reveal your ignorance. Because if you reveal your ignorance and you ask your question, that is the way that you may come to knowledge, that you may know. And all those that will laugh, they may be left behind in their own ignorance. Thus, to gain knowledge, then we must come in the way of humility. That is, to acknowledge that we do not know. To acknowledge that to ourselves. To acknowledge that also to other persons. Ignorance, where does that come from? In a certain way, we should be ashamed of our ignorance. Why? Because ignorance, that is a consequence of our fall. Especially this kind of ignorance that is being revealed in our text. That is actually an ignorance of God. And we were not created ignorant of God. No, we were created in the knowledge of God. And we have lost our knowledge and ought to be ashamed of such an ignorance. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Out of what is this question born? Who asks such a question? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you ask such a question? We maybe have many questions in this world. What are your questions about, young people? You have questions maybe about this and that, all kinds of things in this world. You feel something? How different this question is that these people are asking? Do you feel that that is a question now that is arising out of a need, a spiritual need that is living, that is burning within their hearts? By nature, we do not ask such questions. Or we may even ask questions about the Word of God. That is good. The history in the Word of God. Maybe you have questions sometimes to your father, to your mother, about the doctrine that is in the Word of God. Maybe you have, boys and girls, sometimes a question, or do you never have a question? Never have a question about the preaching, what you have heard this morning, for example, in that house of God? We may have many, many, we hope you have your questions. that you are desirous to learn, but do you feel even yet the difference? The difference also with this question, because we can even have many questions about the Word of God and still lack the question of this multitude. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Where does that come from? Did they always have such a question? Or was there a time that that question just began? That it was born in their heart? Well, you say, certainly they did not always have that question. No, that question that was born even in that same hour. Well, out of what was it born then? How was it born? How did it come out of their mouth? Well, say, that was born out of the preaching. It was born out of the Word of God. What do we read? We read, now when they heard this. When they heard what? Well, when they heard the Apostle Peter. When they heard him speak. When they heard his sermon, as it were. Congregation did the preaching. Did the reading in the Word of God. Did that ever reveal unto you your ignorance? That under the preaching, that under the reading, that you began to feel that you did not know? Was it ever under that word that you began to become concerned with a spiritual need? Maybe you say no. Maybe you say, I have been coming to God's house for many years. I have come and I have gone. And indeed, I have learned many things. But when I am honest and I feel what this question is in this multitude, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then I must say no. No, I have never had such a need, such a question born within my heart. And I have been under the word. What are you missing then? Say yes. I am missing the blessing. I am missing the application. I am missing, yes, I am missing the Spirit of the Lord. I'm missing His work within my own heart. Do you feel that? Does that grieve you? That in a personal way you must miss the power of that Holy Spirit? Well, congregation, what are you doing therefore? We will ask each and every one, what have you done before you left your home? In this morning, in this afternoon, when you arose on the Sabbath day morning, was there then a cry in your heart that said, O Lord, it is thy day. It is thy house. It is thy institution. And now I can go. But now that word all by itself, we must be careful because it is the word of God and it remains the word of God. But in and of itself, it has no power. In and of itself, it will only be to testify against me on that great day of days, increasing my knowledge so that I know the way. But those that know the way and who have not walked in the way, they shall be beaten with many stripes. O Lord, wilt thou come this day? Wilt thou work this day? Wilt thou bless thy word this day to me, to my husband, to my wife, to my children? Oh, what are you doing in this moment when you are sitting here in the house of God and you are listening? Do you have a cry in your heart in this very moment that says, oh Lord, it is thy own word. Wilt thou take thy word and wilt thou apply it by thy Holy Spirit? Thus, out of what does this question come? That question that comes not only out of the preaching, but that question comes out of the application of that Spirit of the Lord. It is evident. It is the blessing of the Spirit upon the word. And when the Spirit that is blessing that word, then there is an effect. Then there is power. And that power that is felt, that is experienced in the heart of that people, that is the only cause, the true cause of this question. What do we read? Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Were you ever pricked in your heart? Were you ever pricked in your heart under the preaching, under the reading of the word? You say, what is that? To be pricked in the heart. Well, the common operation of the Spirit, that is to prick a man in his conscience, especially by the word. Then that word is testifying against us. That is very uncomfortable. Is that not, young people? Your conscience, very uncomfortable thing, is it not? Tells you, you do wrong. Say, this is a wrong place to go. I do not belong here. Say, this is the wrong thing to wear. Say, that is the wrong thing, the wrong way to answer my father, to answer my mother. And then that conscience that can bring you over the world in misery. Does that conscience then, when it is pricking, does that make you to follow in a certain way? It ought to. Then maybe that you are walking in this world so that your conscience that does not give you too much trouble, that is good. Because your conscience that is speaking within you for a reason, it is pricking. And yet, when we are pricked in our conscience, then we are not yet pricked in our heart. Say, why not? What is the difference? There is a great difference. There is no man in all the world that is not at one time or another pricked in his conscience. But it is only by the operation of the Spirit of the Lord that a man is pricked in his heart. And what is now the difference? Well, when that conscience speaks, then it is all hard, isn't it? It is like a whip. It is like a rod that is driving you back, that you have to go only in a certain path. And when you are pricked in your heart, how is that different? Well, then there is something that draws. Then there is not something that only drives. Then there is something that lures you. Because then there is love. And that love that is causing sorrow, that love that is causing grief, the heart that is the seat of our affections, that heart weeps. The conscience doesn't weep. The heart weeps. David, he speaks about a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's not just a matter of show. Sometimes, and then there are tears. There are tears even in the public, in the house of the Lord, because they cannot be fought back. But congregation, it is mostly in secret. They are tears, maybe not even that are wept from the eyes, but they are tears that are wept from the heart in the secret places. What a power. How powerful is that Holy Spirit? That Holy Spirit that is able to change the heart of a man. That Holy Spirit is able to break the heart of a man. That Spirit is able to cause the heart of a man to love. Can you do that? To love what he did not love before. To hate what he did not hate before. That Holy Spirit is able to draw the heart of a man. That Holy Spirit is able to make the heart of a man to weep, to grieve. Can you do that? Can you do that to yourself? Can you do that to your children? Can you change their affections? Paul, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Enmity. Do you feel it? Do you ever smite upon your breast and say, oh God, wilt thou break that enmity that is living in my heart against thee? The Lord Jesus, he says, Satan, he is a strong man armed. He keeps his palace. Do you feel it? Do you grieve over it? That you are not able to change yourself in your fallen state and condition? Does that make you despair? There is no need to despair. Why not? Because Christ, he says, there is a stronger than he. Stronger than he. He doesn't say, you are stronger than he. He says, there is a stronger than he. There is one that is able to bind that strong man that keeps you from weeping. To bind that strong man that keeps you from grieving and does not allow you to love the things that are for your peace. And if he will bind that strong man, that stronger than he, who is that, children? Yes, that is the Spirit of the Lord. And if he will cast him out, then you understand there will be a great change. Here, it is not just one person, but it is 3,000 persons at one time, 3,000 hearts. They are harder than a nether millstone. All together, that power of the Spirit, He is able to affect each and every heart in the same way, at the same moment. Some of them were doubting, we read. Do you doubt? Do you doubt? Some of them were even mocking. Do you mock? You doubt the truth of the word? And maybe not with your mouth, but you say, indeed, that is my heart. I can sit in that house of God, and actually, there is a mocking. There is a maintaining of themselves. And then soon after, there is a cry. Crying out, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is a change. That is an irresistible work of the Spirit. That enmity of the carnal mind that is not able to resist the power of the Spirit of the Lord. But the Lord, He has a willing people. In the day of His power, men and brethren, what shall we do? That is the question of an entire multitude. One question. Say there are 3,000 different people. How does the Lord convert His people? Does He do that all different? Well, you see, if you will ask God's children, then you say, then there will be every one of them, they will have different circumstances. Was that people too? Indeed, they come from all over the world. And yet, one question, the same question, a fundamental question. Why? Because there is a way. There is a way that the Spirit of the Lord is working. And we can see that in the Word of God. We can see it in the examples that are shown to us in the Word of God. And that way that the Spirit of the Lord is working is a way which is able to be recognized. It can be recognized within ourselves. It can be recognized also within the lives of others. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What does the Spirit then teach? Well, the Spirit then teaches our ignorance. He gives us to know that ignorance. He gives us to feel that ignorance. He gives us to mourn over that ignorance, to grieve over it. He makes them willing to confess that ignorance. Why? Because all the pride of that people, and the pride of that Jewish people was a great pride. It was a national pride. And all the pride of the people that is now laid in the dust by that Spirit of the Lord. And they have to come off their throne. Did the Lord ever bring you off your throne? Men and brethren, what shall we do? It is a confession of their guilt. Openly. With sorrow, with grief, with anguish of soul? Would that not be a wonder if the way we went out from this place was so, so different than the way that we came in? That would be a miracle. Indeed, it would be a miracle. Did you ever read The Dairyman's Daughter, young people? Did you read that little book? And then she tells about that first sermon that she heard, where the Lord began to show her who she was. That minister was not supposed to be there that Sunday. She did not even go to church, and her mother and father either. You have a great blessing. But the winds were contrary and could not leave, and he was going to preach in a certain place. And then there were people, because she wanted to go, and they said, "You should never go to hear that man because he fills your head with all kinds of strange things." But you know, that girl, she was curious, she says. She wanted to hear him, but especially she said that she had such a nice new dress and that she was fond of fine clothing. And so she went to hear that man, and she sat down in that great crowd of people, and she is looking around, and she thought, "If only they would look at me. If only they would see my beautiful dress, and that they would say something about my beautiful dress." That is the way she went to church. And someone did say something about that beautiful dress. You know who that was? That was the minister. And it was not only the minister, but it was the Lord who said something of that beautiful dress. Because as she was sitting there, the minister gave out his text that was, "Be clothed with humility." And she says he began to compare the clothing of the body with the clothing of the soul. And she says, "I suddenly began to feel very ashamed of myself." And then that minister, he began to lay out what the robe of righteousness, the garment of salvation was. And do you know what she says? She says, "I felt a very powerful conviction of the nakedness of my soul. I looked around me, and I wondered if other people felt the same way as I did. I looked within me," she says, "and I saw a heart that was full of iniquity. I trembled when he spoke. But my heart," she says, "that was drawn to the words that he was speaking." Do you know what our fathers say about regeneration? He says it is a work most powerful, and at the same time, most delightful. She said, "I trembled. I trembled when he spoke. And yet my heart was drawn to those words that he spoke." And you know, later on, then she said, "I often think about how different that the state of my thoughts were in the beginning of that sermon and in the end of that sermon. It was very different. How is that different? But there was life. There was life. It was life from the dead. It was a new heart. It was the same thing many, many years later that happened on the day of Pentecost. The Lord does not change. The work of the Lord does not change. The Spirit of the Lord does not change. Religion that is more than notion, something must be known and felt. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What a great change took place in that moment under the simple preaching of the Holy Word of God by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. From the dead, men became alive, and faith is born. Faith is born. Men begin to believe. They begin to believe the Word. They begin to believe what the Word says of God. They begin to believe what the Word says of themselves. They tremble. And they are drawn. They are drawn. And they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because they do not know what to do. Is that same also with you? Let us sing. From 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 188. was Christ on Pentecost. You know that, children, because 10 days ago, then we have commemorated the Ascension. So you say the Lord Jesus, he was not on the earth anymore, but he is in heaven. And he is sitting at the right hand of God. He is on the throne of glory. And what is he doing there? Well, he is sending forth his Spirit. He has finished the work that his Father gave him to do. He has merited that salvation that his church could not merit anymore. And now the work is not finished, but it must now be applied in the midst of the world. And so he is sitting on the right hand of glory, and he is commanding. He is sending forth his Spirit as he has promised. If I go away, I will send him unto you. What is the work of the Spirit? Christ says, he will not speak of himself, but he shall take of mine, and he shall show it unto you. Thus, the entire work of the Spirit of Christ is to glorify Christ in the hearts of his people. What is now the first step in that glorification? Well, that is that in which that people are presently glorying must first be stripped away. Boys and girls, if you come to the supper table and your mother has made there a beautiful meal, and you say, Mother, I have no hunger at all, then it can be such a delicious meal, but you will partake nothing of that meal. Hunger. Hunger that is the first thing that is necessary if Christ will be glorified. Thus we see in this question, the working, the beginning of that working of the Spirit for the glorification of his only begotten Son. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They confess their ignorance. No, they are no longer ignorant concerning their sin. They were. They did not realize before Peter began to preach, they did not realize what they had done. Neither were they sorry for what they had done. But they have come to that knowledge through that preaching. And how did they come to that knowledge through the preaching? Well, that was by the use of the schoolmaster. What does Paul say? That the law, that is a schoolmaster unto Christ. By the law is the knowledge of sin. So where did Peter begin? Well, he began with that law. What did he say? He says, thou shalt do no murder. But ye have transgressed. Him have ye taken, and by wicked hands ye have crucified, and you have slain him. That was not just a common murder, but he goes to prove that they have crucified the very Son of God. That they have crucified him whom God had sent for the salvation of his people. And now that schoolmaster that has its effect. Because under that preaching, the arrow is shot into the soul of that people by the Spirit of the Lord, so that they have to cry out, "Carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded." They are condemned. Were you ever condemned? That is where it begins. Did they make excuses? That is what we do. What is an excuse? That is to push away the guilt. Say, they could have done that. Peter actually left them a little room to do that. Because Peter, he said, that it was by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God that ye have done this. There is now something to hide behind, is it not, young people? Well, was in God's counsel. It's not my sin. It is in God's foreknowledge. It had to be. Otherwise, Christ, he would not have died. That is all true. Is that what these 3,000 people say? Do they begin to make excuse? That is not the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord. That a man, he begins to make excuses. No, it is just the opposite. That a man, he owns his guilt. Thus the question. Did you ever come by the Spirit of the Lord to own your guilt? With sorrow, with grief, with love, with drawing. Men and brethren, what shall we do? No, they are not ignorant of their sin any longer, of their guilt, of their corruption. But what do they not know? They do not know what to do about it. Do you not know what to do about it either? That is now one of the first questions of that newborn soul. What shall I do? What do our fathers say in the catechism? How shall I escape this well-deserved punishment and again be received into favor? That is the question. Favor? That is the drawing. How can I again be received into favor? That is now what this 3,000 people are asking Christ, when he is sitting on the right hand of power, does not send his Spirit to make that people a lazy people that can just sit in their easy chair, that say, I cannot do anything anyway because God is sovereign. No, the Lord Jesus, he says that ye shall seek me and ye shall find me if you will search for me with all your heart. Do we search for him with all our heart? Well, by nature we do not. Do we seek him? We hope so. We hope everyone does. You do that too, boys and girls? Do you seek the Lord when you are young? But do you know what we don't do? We do not seek him with all our heart. You will find that out. One day maybe you will try and the next day you will forget. All our religion, it is just outward. It is good. You must do it. But you must also find out that it really is not true. It is so much show. The Spirit of the Lord, what does he do? The Lord Jesus sends that Spirit to make you alive from the dead and to make you earnest and to give you a desire for what? that you may make it right again. Then you will begin to ask the question, what shall I do? Christ sends that Spirit to glorify Himself in the hearts of His elect. And that is to glorify Himself as the mediator. And that first step, that is that people may experience their need. Their need for that mediator. We see that here. These people, they are willing to make amends. Can they undo what they have done? They cannot. It is finished. They have transgressed. But they are willing and they are ready to do whatever that it is that the Lord, He requires them to do. They say, oh Lord, just tell me, what shall I do? How can I please Him? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Or whatever that it is, that people, they are ready to do it. What is too much for that people? That they are not ready to do. They are ready to forsake the world and every former friend. They say, oh Lord, how can I come again into Thy favor? How can I fill up that breach again? How can I receive thy favor instead of Thy disfavor? How can Thy wrath now be put away? I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh Lord, when wilt Thou come unto me? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Is that ever your question? Oh, that is the way. That is the way that is leading unto Christ. Are you led on that way? If the Lord spares us next week, we hope to consider the answer. But before we have an answer, you know that, children, before there is an answer, there is a what? There is a question. That is what we try to lay before you today. We are asking you today, do you have this question? Is that question also living in your heart? Or are all our questions all have to do with this world? Because if we are ignorant of this question, we are ignorant of the work of the Holy Spirit. We are ignorant of God. We are ignorant of Christ. We are ignorant of ourselves. You say, I have heard of Christ my whole life. I am not ignorant of Him. Who were these people? They were religious people. They were Jews. The smoke of their sacrifices has for ages already been ascending up unto God on high. That was the picture for them for many, many years already of that blessed mediator that was to come. And they were completely ignorant of who that Christ was. And you can now, your whole life long, listen to the Word of God. But when that law of God is struck as an arrow in your heart, you will not know the way. You will not know the way. And you will say, even as this people, from murderers, from doubters, from mockers, they became criers. Men and brethren, what shall we do? That is now a people that did not know it anymore. Are there also those that do not know it anymore? because this is a people that will receive the answer from the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give this question also to live and to burn in our hearts? We need to have place made for thee that is first. Oh, that is so necessary. Else we shall have a Jesus of five letters and so go to our condemnation. Instruct us, O Lord. Send thy Spirit to convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Wilt thou send us away, smiting upon our breast? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Bring us safely to our places. Spare us in this week. Help each one in our place in all the labors that are in this world. Give that thy word may go with us in this week, that we could not let it go. And wilt thou keep us each one from a sudden and from an unprepared death. We may acknowledge thee for thy help in this afternoon. Wilt thou thyself receive the honor in the conversion of sinners? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 389 stanzas 1 and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. And what follows in 1 and 4 of Psalter 389. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.